All right, I'm ready. I don't think I'm ready, but I'm ready. It's also fresh still. I'm like processing.
But it's like a whole new show.
It does. I mean, it is. I just learned the Bachelor name, so now we have to dive into this. Okay, good? Hey, everybody. Welcome into a special edition of Can I Steal You for a Second? Normally, we recap The Bachelor, but we have all been obsessed with Netflix's Love is Blind that we just had to do a special episode and talk about it on the podcast. We just watched the finale, which dropped this morning. So if you haven't watched it, we're going to stay spoiler-free for the first couple minutes here.
For now.
And we'll let you know once we get to the spoilers because we want to talk about them.
We have to talk about it.
Okay, guys, Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. I was like, absolutely. Not. You know when you turn on Netflix and it just is blaring, like auto-playing a commercial or trailer or whatever? Love is Blind is the one that kept playing for me. And it's like, this looks stupid. I'm not going to watch it. And it was everywhere, everywhere.
And got you.
I know you were watching right off the bat. I dragged Shay into it for this.
Social media peer pressured me into watching The Circle, and I was like, it's not going to happen again. You won't get me. And then Ashley and our producer Hunter were like, so Love is Blind. I was like, God damn it. And here we are.
Here we are. So what you guys, what do you think about the premise of all this?
I think dating shows are inherently strange because it's so out of the ordinary and an experience so few people experience. But this one in particular was kind of creepy to me. I thought that it was really strange that you go in these pods, right? And you can't see someone. So you're just like talking to a voice. And it gave me like Wizard of Oz vibes. Like you can hear the person, but you can't see them. And it looked kind of lonely and boring. And I was really intrigued by how quickly the show caught on because I wasn't into it right away. Did you like immediately get hooked?
I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
And I just, you know, I kept watching just to see where it goes. I honestly, when watching it, I didn't know what it was going to. I mean, I'm not spoiling or anything, but I didn't know that they finally get to meet and they get to interact with each other. I thought that was just going to be the show and they get, you know, engaged and that's it. But very interesting. Maybe a little slow at the beginning.
Okay,
but
it's a little slow, right?
Maybe a little slow, but... Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'm going to take shots at Netflix production quality right out the gate here. The bar for reality shows, reality dating shows, is so high now. Like, we were brainstorming this the other day, trying to come up with, like, funny, silly, potential dating concepts. And, like, all of them had been done. Like, everything, it feels like, has been covered in some form. So even the concept of getting engaged to someone you haven't seen before, like, that's, like, married at first sight. Like, there are things that have been done before. So like the bar for novelty is high, and it seemed like Netflix went with this. And I think the novelty is what you spoke to, where it's like the episodes, I can't remember the exact breakdown, but it's like there's time in the pods, there's time where they live together in Atlanta, and then there's the wedding episode, which aired this morning. And so like that was interesting, but man, like we were talking about this, like the edits are rough. There was like aggressive tonal shifts. Like it was, and maybe this is like the entertainment editor in me, like it wasn't a well-produced TV show. And so like that really, that was tough for me.
That's tough for you.
Well, it starts out with Nick Lachey and his wife, Vanessa, which I'm going to be honest, if Vanessa Lachey walked in the room right now, I don't think I would recognize her. Like, and so they have this awkward introduction. You have all these like new contestants lined up, and she's like, I'm Vanessa Lachey. Like, we're here to do an experiment. They're like all scientific with it. Let's do an experiment. And he's like, well, obviously I'm Nick Lachey. And then 10 episodes go by and we like never really see them again. And I was like, with a bar, I thought Chris Harrison's job was easy, but like Nick Lachey and Vanessa just like,
oh man,
cashed the check. They secured the bag and like walked off. And this show just took off.
It did.
So I don't know. I think Shay and I were a little critical, but you've been tweeting about it.
Yeah, I was hooked.
Why were you hooked? Teach me. Maybe I'm miserable and like, I guess, sad.
I don't know.
I don't enjoy content.
No, I don't know. I guess the personalities of a lot of them. It started to pick up for me, you know, after the pods and they got to hang out and you get to see how they reacted. I don't know. It was just so interesting. I feel like in society, we find ourselves being shallow and picky and whatnot, and not giving people a chance to, you know, to see what else is out there with them. And
segueing off of that, I'm going to cut you off because you're like, yeah, society this, society that. But every single contestant on this show was conventionally attractive. I know this is a podcast. I'm doing air quotes. There was no one that had any kind of, you know, physical deformity or something that, like, would be considered unattractive by societal standards.
Yeah.
So we can say, you know, love is blind, like this is an experiment, but everyone was by normal standards like attractive.
Yeah, but also like, I mean, just think about everyone. Like, think about your dating life. I think all of us, we've talked to people, maybe we're just a little bit too picky. Mm-hmm. Not that they weren't attractive in any way, but they just, we were just a little picky in a sense. So yeah. I don't think you could go in there and have a large range of different type of people in there, in my opinion.
Well, Shay sent me down a spiral. Do you want to go into that now? Your love is blind.
Oh, yeah. Crisis. My problem with the word blind. Again, this is another, the editor jumping out of like fixating on a word and being like, it's not the right word. But blind isn't the right word. Because I think like the question that this show gets at isn't, can you marry someone without seeing them? It's, can you marry someone without, I don't know, I still haven't quite found the word that I want, but like being around them. Because like the question isn't, are they, when they're revealed and they see each other, like, is the person your type? Are they someone that you would like pick out of a lineup as like the most attractive person that you find like aesthetically pleasing? It's, what do you do when like that spark or that connection isn't there? Because that, and before we dive into the couple by couples and spoilers, like that seems to be the crux of a lot of the issues in their relationships isn't that, like, I mean, to your point about conventional attractiveness, the one person with any kind of, like, stereotypical fault, and I'm throwing that in air quotes too, is that our boy Mark is short, which I feel is, like, a strawman argument anyways, but, like, he's short. Oh, no. Like, but that's not ever an issue in his relationship. It has to do more with whether that physical attraction is there. So when this whole thing circled back to the finale and it was like, do you believe, is love blind? I'm like, maybe. I don't know. It's not, it doesn't matter because it's, the question is like, is love, I don't know, is love sexual or something? Where it's like, that seems to be the real question the show drives up.
Yeah, and not to, like you said, spoilers coming up soon, but, you know, this whole idea that Nick Lachey drove into our head episode one, it's an experiment. Yeah. We're here to do an experiment. They're very scientific right off the bat. This is the worst result of any experiment whatsoever. I have so many questions. There's no closure. There's no, like, data-driven science.
While we're still talking about Nick, I need to keep talking, but I need to pull up, I sent you a direct quote that they said, and it drove me insane, and I'm looking for it, but keep talking before we go into the couples. I need to share this.
Okay, yeah, well, Nick, like I said, Nick and Vanessa Lachey, they're saying experiment, they're saying science, but I'm like, and you mentioned this, the show was poorly produced, quote unquote. It did feel a little rushed. I just learned that it was filmed 2 years ago.
What?
So
that,
yeah, so everyone, you're kind of watching feelings, yeah, almost 2 years ago. Wow. So a year and a half, I guess. This all happened, and so much time has passed since then.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
I'm curious to see who stuck together, who stayed together.
Well, we've got the deets for that later, but the line that I wanted to share was that they told, Vanessa and Nick told these couples that their odds, whether they were gonna, their marriage or wedding would be as strong or stronger than any marriage ever, and that they were giving them the best possible chance for success.
You know, I'm no relationship scientist over here, but to put 30 strangers and say here are 15 people out of how many people are on planet Earth,
right?
Yeah. Is that giving you the best statistical odds?
You have to commit to an engagement, then you have to move in, then you have to get married in 30 days. Best chance.
Yeah, and there's so much more that goes into, like, you know, you can't necessarily fall in love in a pod. Like, you have social cues. I think someone said that. Like,
sure. How do you act? Fall in love in a pod.
Yeah. How do you act when you're out with your partner in public, or interacting with friends, or when certain situations come up and their character is challenged? That's what I think, you know, love is built on. So I think you're right. They should have changed the name to something else. Like, maybe is.
Right, it's not as catchy.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, true. True.
Yeah. Love is Blind is definitely catchy. Are you guys ready to dive into some spoilers?
Let's dive.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay. So if you're listening and you haven't watched yet, shame on you. But we're going to talk spoilers. So this is your cue to turn off the podcast.
If you listen to Bachelor Podcast, this is your kind of show.
Yeah. I'd recommend. If you like watching other people's train wreck, like, turn this on.
There's,
you'll binge through
wrecks
it really quick.
There's a lot.
All right, spoilers, here we go. Let's do, to try and keep some kind of structure here. So I think it's, 30 contestants originally go on,
right,
and they go in these pods. And from what we've researched online, you know, day one, everyone kind of meets, and then you submit your top choices.
Something like
that. And the producers kind of pair you up after that. So after a couple days in the pods, we have six couples that have, you know, proposed and whatever.
Well, we'll also throw out there, apparently there were more successful couples or more people formed connections than the producers were anticipating. So they ultimately ended up like sending a couple home and like focusing on these six who proposed and, you know, got engaged. Mm-hmm. And those were their six.
For sure. Yeah. So, which I can't believe anyone found love, but good for you guys. So Carlton and Diamond, let's start with them.
Train wreck.
I feel like we're going to say that after every single couple.
Train wreck.
So I just have to say, poor Diamond gets in the pod One of her first interviews. So what does the guy say?
Wait. First of all, Diamond is she from Chicago?
Yes. I think she's the basketball dancer.
Basketball dancer. So shout out to Diamond.
Right. Yeah. Continue. Off dancer though. So she's a professional dancer. Yeah. Dancing's it's a skill. Yeah. It takes a lot of physical ability. And some guy was like, that sounds like a stripper's name or something like that. And like right off the bat, Diamond's just getting like beaten down. So again, you take away the physical thing.
Poor Diamond.
You can't even have a conversation. Someone is like passing judgment day one. I was like, get this man out the pod. But okay, I just had to like justice for Diamond there. So Diamond connects with Carlton. Mm-hmm. Who
was no gem in the pods either, because he's the one that full on, I think it was Amber, like walked out. Like she's talking, like telling him about herself, and he just kind of goes, nope, and like turns around and like walks out, which is a funny moment, but also like,
she's like, hello.
A total jerk move.
Like, hello. Come on, man. Hello.
Just to like sneak away.
Yeah, that was lame. He's very self-righteous.
Yeah, he's.
He's a mess.
Yeah.
Which they kind of rope you in a little bit, because he talks about how he's had relationships with both genders. And he says that it's something that he's struggled with because he's afraid that people won't accept him. But he's, quote, looking for a wife because women offer a maternal something, something, something. So he's there to find a wife. But he has this thing that's clearly very upsetting to him. And he doesn't tell anyone.
No wonder like these relationships don't work with him, because he probably waits so long to bring it up and he's not confident about it, and he attacks that person once he tells them. So
yeah, and there's moments where you think he's going to, you know, because he looks distraught. It's very clear that this is upsetting to him. It's not me being like, you need to expose your secrets to everyone you date. It's, this looks like you're about to propose to this person.
He needs therapy.
I am pro therapy here.
Armchair psychologist a little bit. Like, you can see his behavior kind of oscillate from being like very like kind and open to just like this total like macho posturing. Like when he and Diamond first get out of the pods and they're on that resort, like they're like doing drinks and he starts getting like very like aggro and like just like real,
totally
like
nagging her.
And I thought it was a different person.
Totally different person.
I will admit I was not completely invested in this show off the bat.
Yeah.
And I was like half, you know, like I would get up to get a snack and like not pause the TV, whatever. So I came back and I was like, who's this dude? I must have like missed it. And his voice changed, his tone shifts.
Yeah.
And very alarming. It was bothersome to me to see how he was treating her. And then,
go ahead.
No.
And then the shit hit the fan.
This is when I knew I was hooked on the show. This was a turning point. They have a full on fight meltdown by the pool.
They do. Well, so he decides to go ahead and wait. He already told her, right?
Is that what he did? This is what he tells her.
Yeah, right?
He already told her.
Pool. They're sitting by the pool. This isn't the quoting Beyonce.
Oh, you're right. It is. No. He tells her when they're on the chairs.
Wait, what? It was like a date night, right?
This is all semantics. But he told her first before they fought. Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, So he tells Diamond that, you know, he's had relationships with men before, and he's like just really, you know, trying to throw it all out there. A little behind. He should have, you know, said it a lot sooner. But Diamond takes it in. She's shocked. She's shook. Trying to take it in, and she just cut off guard, and I feel like that's when we went to the pool scene. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah. Is the train wreck right here.
So he comes in, he feels a little better, and you know,
they had some time to cool down.
They seemed like they were in good moods. I thought like, okay, they might work this out. We'll see what happens. And then it just went, I think they were both being defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, you know, remember word for word, but literally the shit hit the fan. And I'll let you go ahead. You got the quotes
in there. Okay, no, I do have the quotes. So all it goes 0 to 60 like that.
0 to 60 real quick.
And they're fighting, they're screaming. He's talking about like her hair sliding off, like low blows. It got trashy, like reality TV real fast. And he says something like they're screaming at each other and she's walking off, whatever. He's like, that's why I don't date bitches like you, like screaming across the pool. She quotes Beyonce, like, it is an incredible scene that will hook you in for the rest of the series, I promise. I think this is like episode 5 or something like that. So just watch 4 episodes of mediocre show. But I just could not believe how ugly it got and malicious.
It got so ugly. Yeah. And I was so confused too, because he was trying to make a point to where he's had issues with people understanding where he's coming from. But then he tried to tell her that no one else has had an issue with this before.
Yeah.
This man needs therapy. I don't know.
There was a lot of projecting, I felt, and I wanted so desperately to for him to find like the clarity and the comfort in confiding in someone that he allegedly wants to marry. And I don't know, if you tell anyone a secret, I think it takes time to process that information if you're not prepared for what the information is.
And it was one of those like peak reality show fights where like everybody had a point and nobody came out looking good, where it's like her behavior was a little biphobic, and like biphobia is like a real serious problem. And yet like he was also like very sort of like, I don't know, acting out of pocket and like all over the place and like aggressive. So it's like there was a lot. Nobody was acting super well. Mm-hmm. Everyone was maybe coming from like a place of genuine like pain and, you know, insult. But yeah, and then it manifests in what regrettably maybe is wildly entertaining.
I know, I'm out here like, watch it, it was great. But these are two human beings with like emotional traumas that they're trying to work through. So, you know, what I thought was a cute couple, very quickly, all of a sudden they blow up and they're just gone.
The train wreck.
They're off the show. Like the show doesn't follow them anymore. Yeah. We have no idea.
They broke up and love is not interested in breakups.
Right, yeah, no.
Love is blind is not interested.
We're here to find blind love, Shay, not train wrecks. So then we're down to 5 couples.
Who's the next couple?
Let's talk about Cameron and Lauren. We like Cameron and Lauren. We love a healthy relationship as much as we love a train wreck.
They're cute. And you know me, I'm mixed. I'm biracial. So, you know, I love a good biracial couple. So
they were cute. And I think that is kind of what made their story like so real to me is, like you said, this idea, you find love in the pods, but it's learning about your partner's like upbringing and their family life and their values. And I thought they had probably the most real conversations with their families when they met.
Yeah,
for sure.
Particularly, I loved the scene where Cameron met Lauren's father. He did not hold back.
He didn't.
I loved.
He was respected. He didn't hold back, but.
But he was also mellower than I was expecting. Like, I think, and again, this is like too like insidery probably, but like I felt like the producers were trying to create drama in that couple, even down to the end, even down to like the like, is she gonna say yes? Like, I never had any doubt, and it seemed like they were like rock solid from the start. And even that, like, it didn't seem like her mom was sort of like chuckling and saying like her father always like expected our children to like marry black people, and so like him being white is gonna might be an issue. But then once he actually met him, he was like, he talked to him about it, he was a chill. I loved him. He was like, have you ever been in a room full of black people before?
He's like, it was like an awkward silence.
So actually, yes, I have.
And then they like moved on. He was like, well, if my daughter loves you, then like let's roll.
I thought that was such a beautiful line, that he's like, my daughter's a grown woman, she can make decisions for herself, like I'm always going to care about her and I hope that you do too. Which, tying this into The Bachelor, we kind of, with Madison, when she did her hometown, there's this, you know, idea that her parents are like micromanaging her decision making in a way. Their values are, so they're like, have you told him, have you done this? And I thought it was really refreshing to hear Lauren's dad be like, hey, she's a grown woman and I just want her to be happy, like, can you be the person?
For sure. That's good to see. Also though, Madison is a lot younger than
Like 7 years.
Yes.
Well, I guess now 9 years.
Yeah,
a whole decade.
I thought that was you know, Lauren and Cameron, they had a great bond from the beginning. I think they cried together in the pod, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Like, they just had a great bond. And I don't know, I enjoyed watching them the whole time.
Me too. Yeah.
Cameron's rap was great.
Yes, we have to talk about
Cameron's rap.
I did not know that.
I am so embarrassed and also endeared.
Yes, it was very charming because he did it in front of her mom.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
He had rhythm and swag too. Like,
did he?
I thought so. I thought he had swag.
My standards for rhythm and swag might be a little higher. I don't know. I think that's why it was endearing though, because it was like, it wasn't bad.
Like, I wasn't cringing. And also in his defense, like, he didn't have a beat. He was just like doing a offhand in his kitchen.
Cut off on the spot. Off guard.
But what did he say? In college, he was part of like a group or something.
A rap band,
I was like, what? Where did you? He's so fascinating. Because he's the scientist, right? Yeah.
The scientist.
So he's a scientist with a rap.
Right.
I think it's
and
so
like
funny.
And like a very nice, like, three-story home.
Yes.
When everybody else is in these like studios and one bedrooms, and he's like, here's my home. I bought it.
Scientists making bank.
Yep.
I think it's so funny how broad, like, these, you know, scientists.
Oh my God.
Store manager.
Yeah, what is a general manager?
Ex-tank mechanic.
Yeah.
Unemployed. Yeah, like, let's call it what it is.
They didn't want to get down to it. It's funny.
Scientist. No, all the job descriptions were incredibly cryptic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't really know. Again, going back to the production value, like, you have no context of who these people are. I was confused why they were all in Atlanta. I guess they're all from the Atlanta area.
Tax breaks.
Oh.
People,
tell me more.
Entertainment companies, like movie studios, TV shows, shoot a ton in Georgia because there are like tax breaks, so it's cheaper to shoot there than other places.
Oh yeah, Tyler Perry just opened up his own studio there too.
Wow, I had no idea.
And then I think they were going to change the taxes at some point, and because of that garbage senator or whatever he was, they were like, we're going to boycott Georgia, and people were like, this is not actually a useful thing. That's a very different conversation, but anyways, tax breaks.
Tax breaks.
The more you know. And so they end up getting married.
They do.
Happily ever after.
So sweet. I will say, even though I was kind of trashing it, the concept before, they do seem like, I mean, Love is Blind, like the show, like totally lucked out with them because, A, like we said, like they're just totally adorable, endearing, like felt good about them and confident in them from the start. Like, it seems like they genuinely probably might be together forever. And also, they seemed like an actual sort of case study in the conceit of not knowing or not seeing the person, because Lauren says, like, I've never dated a white guy before. And I don't know if she said it so explicitly, but like kind of implies that, like, maybe she wouldn't have like given him a chance as much if she met him in a bar. Whereas like in the context of this, she didn't know that about him and formed a bond regardless.
Yeah. I think they're the name of the show. Mm-hmm. They're the face of it. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe they'll take over hosting duties for a season two.
That would be dope.
Oh,
be
cool. I love that. I would watch a spinoff too. Yeah. Like,
right?
Maybe like their babies.
There's definitely going to be a season two.
You think so?
No doubt about it.
I don't know if I could watch it again.
Well, let's circle back to that.
Okay,
let's
move to that later. Concluding thoughts. Let's move on to our next couple.
Next couple. Who do we have?
Who, maybe this is a hot take. This might be my favorite couple on the show.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah.
Barnett and Amber.
Barnett and Amber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're real sleeper picks.
I think they, because you were a couple episodes behind me, mm-hmm. and I so desperately wanted to be like, Shay, give them a chance. Stop trashing them. Because I think that once we kind of saw them outside the pods, their personalities made a lot more sense to me. Like, I think they tried to make Barnett like this, you know, fratty, like,
player.
Player in the pods. You're in the pods. Like, you have nothing to gain by being a player. Yeah. Like, you're trapped in there. You're going to talk to whoever. And they made Amber seem a little crazy, where I just think she has, like, a very performative personality. So they both grew on me. And I think that they're kind of like the yin and the yang.
I do like them. No. I think they are a great couple. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say great, but I do love them.
they're interesting. Yeah, it's fun to watch them. I'll say that. Yeah. And their affection towards another is just undeniably, you know, probably the best that we've seen in this whole show. They can't keep their hands off each other. And
their first kiss. Do you remember that? They conked heads, like,
when they met each other.
When they finally met, they just like headbutted each other.
Yeah, they were excited to see each other. I mean, they're both attractive, and you see why. But I don't really have too much bad to say about them. They're just a cute couple. Do you think they'll last?
No. I just think that once we got to see Barnett, like, he's a engineer.
Yeah.
And like, he had a house, and like, it was kind of messy, but like, whatever. But he has a home, and he seemed like he had a very supportive family. And then you kind of saw Amber's background, where she had a little more responsibility to learn, I guess, is the best way to say
it. I think
that.
She has a lot of irresponsibility. She doesn't even want to work. She flat out said that she wants to be a housewife.
Yeah.
And I hope that he's okay with that.
I think he was a little caught off guard by that.
Debt. And
I would be cut off. All that, I know all that debt and not like being financially literate and all. Like, it's just a lot that you could take in on someone.
Yeah, I think to your point about Barnett's edit early on, I don't think they did a good job showing how much everybody talked to multiple people and like his, you know, three potential fiancés was definitely played up, it seemed like. Like, yes, that was probably because it had greater drama. But I think sort of coloring him as a playboy that way was probably unfair. And I think as far as her, like everyone I think on the show and us as well said, like, she was like a little scary. Like, her energy was very intimidating. And I would imagine an easy explanation for that is that they were all drunk. And like, some people, when they get drunk, get very like bombastic and like,
that's a great word,
over the top.
You have a great vocabulary, by the way.
I know, we'll be like,
my vocabulary is the worst.
It was good.
But then after the show, yeah, like it mellows out and like you see them in the real world and they mesh pretty well together and they complement each other, and that like physical attraction is definitely there. And I think what I ended up telling you was like, I love them as a couple to date, but like getting married still seems ill-advised.
Yeah, and it's like, I think what you said, she still has a lot of growing up to do.
Yeah.
And you know, it seems like she just wants to get taken care of. Kind of like seems like she still wants to live the fun, wildlife.
Oh, we got a Skittle.
Sorry. We got Skittles. Skittle. All in the pockets. But yeah, I think she has a lot of growing up to do, and if they were to break up, I think it would be because.
But maybe he could be the one to help her grow.
Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully.
Could.
I don't know. Yeah, she said she's never paid her student loans. She's 26.
She has a credit card just for makeup,
which only has a 7.
You can rack that up easily.
She was like, yeah, when she said how much she spent, I was like, that's not that much.
Right. She was like, you spend that much on makeup? And she was like, you have no idea.
You have no idea. Like, makeup's expensive.
How much is makeup?
I mean, makeup is like such a general term.
Right.
Let's say the average lady, how much would she probably spend a month?
Think about like the products that like someone who wears a lot of makeup would put on their face. You'd be like, well, it's like your face wash, your toner, your moisturizer.
Are we including like, oh, she's including primer. Skincare on that credit card? Then that's a whole other question.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not even on the makeup yet.
Yeah.
Just like getting your lashes done is like $100 at least.
So how much are we looking at 1 month?
In a month?
Well, you don't like cycle through it every month.
That's true.
Like, you buy, you're probably looking at like a quarterly basis, maybe?
I'd say quarter. Okay. Quarter.
What's a quarter?
Yeah.
I'm just interested in.
I don't know. I don't.
I feel
buy
like
a lot of makeup or like nice makeup.
I know it's so hard. We're gonna pull up Sephora later for you because
We'll come back.
I think it's like important to know when she was like, oh, $200. I was like, that's not that much. Like, you could buy 3 things for $200. So, but her credit limit was alarming to me that it was only $700 and she has all these student loans. And I think that's when Barnett, I was like, this isn't gonna work out. But she also, I think a lot of her personality, which I found annoying, was just like for the cameras, like being awkward. I don't think she's genuinely that annoying in real life.
No.
It just felt like
forced. She seemed annoying when she was drunk.
Okay, but we can't possibly call her annoying when there's the more annoying drunk on the show, we'll get into.
That's true.
Which we'll get into.
Oh.
Yeah, so basically all I have to say is I was annoyed by Amber, was kind of annoyed by Barnett, and then I really came to love them, and I hope they're still together.
And they got married. Did we say that?
They did get married, yeah.
They said I do.
They're one of the yeses.
Yeah.
One of the few yeses. I like them. And we were trying to do a little creeping on to see where everyone is today.
Yes.
And they're still together?
Yeah. They apparently, I think, had like a little bit of a bump in the road immediately after where they weren't sure whether this was going to work out.
Classic.
But now, a full like year and change later, they're happily married.
Love that.
Is Cameron and Lauren still together?
They are.
Okay.
According to this womenshealthmag.com article, which is citing a source close to the show, they celebrated their one-year anniversary back in Mexico. They're just adorable.
Oh, perfect.
Their families love them. They're beautiful humans, and they're truly the essence of Love is Blind.
Wow.
I can't wait till they have a little Dustin. That's going to be
should tell them that we have name recommendations for
you. Yeah,
just Dustin. I love it. All right. This is probably what we're going to talk about for the next 3 hours, Mark and Jessica.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Jessica thought she was in a love triangle with Barnett and Amber, and I guess Mark, a love quadrangle. She super wasn't, but
Jessica was a lot.
She was a lot.
She was a lot. Particularly her voice that would shift. Like, her normal voice was just, she has a normal voice. And then there were moments where it was so high-pitched, you almost wanted to stop watching the show. Yeah. Like, the way she would shift. I don't know. I can't do an impression of that.
Do it.
She just was like, Mark. And then her normal voice sounded like this.
It was like real baby voice, real high.
And I'm like, she wanted to play this card. Like, she was 34 years old and so old. And then you switch on this baby voice? Like, get out of here. Pick a lane. Are you old and mature? Or are you going to use this cringy baby voice? Like, what... narrative
she kept wanting someone to have a problem with their ages, and literally no one did. But anytime they met someone new, she'd be like, I don't know how they're going to react to him being 24 and me being 34. And like, I don't doubt that there are like people who would raise an eyebrow at the age difference, but not a single person they encountered did. No. And I kept being like, girl, you were looking for excuses here. And that is not one of them. You have a lot of good reasons to not marry this man. The age difference being a problem is not one of them.
Yep.
One of my favorite Jessica moments of many.
Should we do favorite Jessica moments?
Yeah.
And if you have multiple, which I believe
I have,
you do,
multiple.
We can circle back.
Okay, so I'm sorry that I'm going to take the best one here, but at the bachelorette party.
No, that is the best one. That was my favorite.
I went first. Sorry. She just gets absolutely like white girl wasted.
Destroyed.
And they go to a drag show. And they were like, oh, like, if you need anything, just raise your hand. She's like, puts her hand up very confidently. She's like, we need drinks and an appetizer. And they're like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
She can't stand. She's like slurring. They call her out.
Need or want.
Yeah. They just like obliterated her. And then she gets into it with Amber at the bar.
She doesn't even know she was getting into it. That was the funny thing. She's literally like talking to her. And not understanding, like, Amber's about to beat your ass.
Yeah. Like, and Amber was, like, so calm and just, like, keep saying what you need to say. And, like, if you cross the line, I will knock you out.
And then I love in reality shows when, like, you're watching the train wreck just, like, implode. Mm-hmm. And then they cut to, like, the confessional interviews, we'll call them.
Yeah.
And Amber's sitting there like, you know, I was ready to hit a bitch. Like, I was ready to, she said one more thing, I was ready to hit her. Right. And then they cut to, like, Jessica being, like, hunched over. She can't even speak. And... oh my God, I loved every second of it. Because she's clearly into Barnett. And it's so strange.
She's so obsessed with Barnett.
Yeah, like, that's someone's fiance. That's off limits. Like, absolutely not. To go up to his fiance and just, I don't know, it was gibberish. I really don't know what she was trying to say. But we can infer we knew what she was trying to say.
I don't know what she was trying to do. Yeah, she was just, it was an embarrassing moment for Jessica. I'm sorry. You should have just went the other way.
But that's not the only time she got drunk. If anyone wants to claim that as their favorite Jessica moment.
Which one are you going to pick?
I was going to go with the dog, but...
okay, I'll go with a different one then.
What's your one?
Well, I don't know if it's a favorite, but it definitely made me raise the eyebrow when she was drunk. And
again.
Said that... what's his name again? I'm sorry.
Barnett?
Barnett was so sexy to Mark?
Yes.
What?
No.
Don't you disrespect my man Mark like that. He deserves better than that. You don't say that to him.
Mm-mm. No, she gets...
that was heartbreaking.
That was hard to watch. Well, because it started with she said something, and he jokingly was like, well, they're a close second. Do you remember this?
Yeah, so she gets drunk at Barnett's birthday party and is spending the whole time talking with Barnett, doing her thing that, like, drives me absolutely insane, which, like, it's one thing to be, like, weird and shitty and, like, go up to a woman, like, talk about their fiancé like she did Amber. It's another to go to, like, that... guy that you sort of have history with and like passive aggressively make comments like, oh, I'm really surprised that you're engaged with her. It's like, oh, things are going well. Yeah. I'm really happy too. Like her whole, and she did it to him multiple times and it was like, back off.
It was cringy.
But while she's doing that, Mark, who is apparently like, just like, I don't know, gets along really well with women and is like chatty and having a grand old time. With Amber, I guess. And so that comes up when they get home and Jessica's still hammered. And he says something like, oh yeah, she's a close second, like making a joke. And that sends her off the rails. And I don't know who was telling that story before I jumped in and took it over, but there you go.
Yeah, they just were off the rails. They get home and Jessica's white girl wasted in bed, as you were saying.
Yeah.
And she proceeds to take it away.
Yeah,
we're relaying the story.
It's just to, you know, tell... Mark that, I forgot his name again.
Barnett.
I don't know,
his real name's Matthew. Matt. I don't know what he goes by.
Barnett, Matthew is so sexy, this and that. And I was just shocked. I could not believe it that she did that. That was so rude. And I don't know. Advice for anyone out there, if you're in a relationship and you see an argument coming along and you guys are intoxicated, just go, just stop, go in separate rooms and don't just wait till the morning.
Incredible advice. Don't fight when you're drunk.
Do not.
It was real, like her drunk or her sober thoughts coming out as like drunk words, because she was just like stream of consciousness going off about how into Barnett she was.
Yeah, he should have, Mark should have taken those hints. He should have been like, you know what?
I don't want to sidetrack us from just talking about Jessica endlessly because there are endless things we could say, but like how much sort of responsibility or blame falls on Mark here to, you know, get out of a bad situation? Like, it's very clear for a very long time that she's not into him the way he's into her. Mm-hmm. And yet he perseveres.
I feel like in those situations, the person who isn't as into it is like aware that they're not as into it, but the person who's more infatuated is like blissfully unaware that it's not reciprocated.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, you know when someone's more into you and you're like, ooh, I'm not vibing as much.
Yeah.
But when he, like, you, poor little Mark, like, he's so infatuated with this older woman, he doesn't even realize that she's not into it.
He's blind.
I know. Blinded by love, I think, is the title for their story.
But also, guys, we're not good. Guys, men in general are not good at taking hints. Like, we don't get
one
it.
More time. One more
we
time.
We don't get it. We can't take a hint.
What? Subtext doesn't work. Oh my god, I had no idea.
Took some time. So yeah, that's all I got to say.
So someone's like, Dustin, like, your friend is incredibly hot and sexy and I'm more attracted to them. Like, that's not a hint though, Mark. Yeah, like, come on, Mark.
That is true.
Like, if someone says that to you, wouldn't you be like, oh my god, I gotta go? That would hurt.
I would have an argument with it right there.
No, you just said they were drunk. Don't fight when you're drunk.
I know. Take your own advice. What, I never take my own advice. I wish I could, but yeah, Mark did well. He went in the other room, but
he's so mature. He's more mature than Jessica in situations like social situations.
He's too nice. I think that's the thing. Yeah. Nice guys finish last. I think Jessica needs someone to like man up. Like, maybe.
I think Jessica needs therapy too. Maybe her and Jessica Carlton does. Can get like a group rate or something.
I saw a tweet that was like, it was a pro therapy tweet, but it was like, part of the thing with Love is Blind is that like talking about your feelings like is really intoxicating. So all these people spent like, I don't know, dozens of hours just talking about their feelings with somebody else, and they thought that was love, and then they entered the real world, and it was like, no, what you really enjoyed was, like, talking about your feelings for many hours, and, like, maybe you should try therapy.
That's amazing.
No, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Well, also, so I have so many Jessica notes on my list here.
I know.
Another incredible Jessica moment is when she meets Mark's friends and Mark's family. Ooh. So I love that she's so, like, paranoid about being older, and she goes and meets his roommates. Like, he still has roommates. Yep. And they're, like, sitting on this, like, sectional sofa.
The brown on brown on brown. That was, like, the one time I was on Jessica's side.
His bed is, like, chalk, like, weird varying shades of, like, dark brown. Like, not beige, like, neutral, like, brown.
Shit brown.
And, like, just no, like, comforter decoration. No, like, it was just
like no headboard, like,
room. Yeah.
Oh, my. It was so cringy. And I did feel bad for him because then I was like, oh, wait, he is a child.
Yeah,
he is a child. So they meet his roommates and they're just, like, sitting on the couch. And then they're all just, like, sipping, like, Bud Light out of, like, aluminum bottles. And they're, like, clearly not into it. Like, it's his roommate and his roommate's fiance.
Yeah.
And then Jessica and Mark, it's so awkward. And then it got more awkward when she met his family. And it's just, they're not vibing. And his mom is like, make way, I'm the queen of the house. Like, I'm the skinniest one in the room. And she just, like, sits down and starts, grilling her.
Yeah.
So it's clear they weren't infatuated with Jessica. No one seems to appreciate Jessica as much as Jessica does. And then Mark.
Mark appreciates
her. I mean, her dog appreciates her, like you were going to say.
Yeah. There was two weird dog moments, which I did appreciate that they apparently in the pods, like, initially bonded over both having golden retrievers or golden labs or whatever the dog was, which that's nice.
Okay, liking dogs is not a personality trait.
Agreed.
Like, everyone loves dogs.
No. Which I think is like, I feel like this is one of those things where it's like not important that you both love dogs, but it is important to know if the other person doesn't love a dog.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, he likes dogs. It's like, okay.
Right. Good. It's like living with a dog is like living with a, like, anyways, that's a different conversation. So she feeds her or gives her dog wine out of the wine glass, which, like, there are levels here because she, like, she's drinking her wine. She puts it down. The dog licks out the wine. She goes, oh, she loves wine. And then she proceeds to drink from the dog wine glass again without ever breaking conversation or thought. And I think they're, like, in the middle of a fight or something. It's very bizarre. And probably not recommended by most vets. The other sillier thing, which again, I don't necessarily hold against her because she was very drunk, but when she's in bed talking about how hot Barnett is, she's nuzzling with her dog, but her dog is facing the other direction. So every time she does one of those like giggly and then like throw her head into her dog, she's throwing it like directly into her dog's butt. And it's just like, there's...
That's how you know she was gone. Yeah. No regard.
Like, there's no way that smells good. Or that's where you want your nose and mouth to be. There's just, yeah.
I feel like any other day.
It's a very intimate pet owner relationship.
Any other day, Mark would have been like, come on, Jessica, like lean this way. And he's like, nah, like she can lay there. Yeah. Right. That was his revenge.
Like, literally, you've made your bed, now sleep in it.
Oh my God. Literally, you're not brown on brown bed. The other thing she did too, which I thought was disrespectful. And she did it sober. So we can like say what we want about the bachelorette party and like drunk words. But sober Jessica met up with Barnett for coffee and is just like, oh, like you're going through with this marriage. Like, good for you.
Which like way late in the game too, right?
Yeah.
Like this was like right. They'd already picked out dresses and tuxes and all that. And like the wedding was the next day or 2 days or like something very close. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, that says a lot about her.
Yeah, I think what she was saying is, like, I just want to, I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to make sure it's just me. Didn't she say that in an interview?
I think she might have said that in, like, a confessional, but what she was saying to him, it wasn't like she came to him and was like, listen, I know we're both getting married in 2 days, but I am still in love with you, or whatever. It was, like, passive-aggressively undermining, like, what Ashley was saying. It's like, oh, like, I never saw you as a person that would do this. Like, are you happy? I don't know. It was shady.
I think she had the mindset of going in there to see if there was anything like that they could rekindle with their old relationship. But you know, after she saw that, oh my God, what is
Barnett?
Barnett. You see how like happy he was. She just went ahead and became like passive aggressive and saying like rude remarks here and there, and knowing too that she and Mark, well, she's having a hard time, you know, falling through with Mark. She says, oh yeah, me and Mark are happy, we're great, this, you know, she's just, all of it was just so phony.
It was sad.
And it made me cringe the whole time.
I said this to Shay, it's like when little kids like lie about, I don't know, like eating a donut and they have chocolate all over their face and they're like, did you eat the donut? And they're like, no, and it's all over their face. That's her lying capability. Like, her lying is the worst. She's like, oh, I'm like so happy for you. Like, I'm so, just so happy with Mark. Like,
I hate how confident she sounds whenever she's in her confessional. And just, she just seems so like assured of everything. Like, she doesn't seem confused when she's clearly so confused in what she wants.
It was hard to watch. So this might come as a shock to absolutely no one, but they get up on the altar. And Mark is just, like, clearly so infatuated. He's the only groom that, like, cried when she walked in. Which, like, that's literally, photographers, like, look for that shot. Like, the crying groom when the bride walks in.
I feel like Cameron was pretty emotional, too. Our dear
I guess he's always he emotional. Yeah, you're right. I forget about him. He's very forgettable. Like, they're just so stable that I'm, like, not invested
in them.
They're
so healthy, it's not great TV.
We love healthy relationships off camera. Right. So poor Mark is like so emotional. Jessica walks up and just denies him on the altar.
Best thing that ever happened to him. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you guys want to talk about some DMs. I guarantee if you get Mark's DMs right now, bananas.
Mark, come on the show. Show us your DMs.
Bananas.
I would love to read Mark's
DMs.
Women
are probably eating Mark up right
now.
So Mark's relationship update. Jessica is single.
No surprise there.
Hasn't dated, has been doing marathons and really focusing on herself.
She's going to be single.
Really focusing on herself. The show is not
Girl, you've been focusing on yourself your whole life. Just stop.
The show is not going to do anything.
It's been.
She's 36.
I get the picture of the Titanic. Lady, it's been 86 years. Still focusing on myself.
That's her future.
Oh man. Oh. And then according to conversations with other cast members, the source reported that Mark recently ended a 5 or 6 month relationship because his new girlfriend wasn't ready for all the ways the show might affect them.
I can see Mark being he's a girlfriend guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like he needs a girlfriend at all times.
So going off of that.
I feel like
that,
the show will do him favors. I feel like he's going to rebound nicely.
But
like
clearly it didn't for his relationship.
No, but that wasn't. She, I think, was like preemptively concerned about the way the reality show.
Right. Like, I mean, well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, do you think if someone like came into like your Bachelor universe, that it might be off-putting for them? Like, I guess we kind of talked this, like having this like pseudo celebrity.
Yeah. So say if I wanted to date someone in the outside world. I think
in real life,
like, what is that? Someone,
not verified on Instagram.
Are you even real?
Yeah. Less than 1,000 followers?
I don't know. I never thought about that. No. No, I think it's something that I think someone would definitely have to be very confident and trustworthy. And I think it could absolutely happen. Look at Jed. My buddy Jed from the show. He's got a girlfriend right now. And they seem to be doing great and living life. So
yeah. I just feel like I feel for Mark's girlfriend that was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like watching
before
you
before it even came out.
Yeah, like watching you have feelings for someone else on TV, and like,
she doesn't have to watch it.
Who?
I would watch it. Are you serious?
I wouldn't be able to. I would try to like show self control, and I would cave.
But honestly, I think that your imagination can be like infinitely worse than any reality.
Yeah.
So
Mark could have told her like, this girl did not want to have sex with me. She didn't want to hug me, kiss me. Like, it's gonna be okay.
But that's a lie.
Oh, they did have sex, but there was like no affection shown.
There was none. No, that's what I mean. I'd rather like watch it and see what's going on. Then.
Yeah, don't give up. Don't be like, oh, I don't know if I can handle it. It's just a cop-out.
At least like wait and see. Give it a shot.
You knew what you were getting into. I'm sure he brought it up early.
But what's interesting though, to your point about like dating outside Bachelor Nation or whatever, it'll be interesting to see if Love is Blind, like if they do multiple seasons, if they definitely becomes this like mini universe, because like my personal favorite dating show, Are You the One, on MTV, is phenomenal as a show, but it also like they're kind of like, I don't know what their percentage of success rate is, but it's like rather hit or miss with people that are actually paired on the show, but then they all end up like dating people who are from the show but not their season. So just through doing like cast events and reunions and like, you know, sponsored whatever, like they all meet each other and like they all genuinely like have like serious relationships with people from that universe.
I could definitely see that happening for sure.
The Love is Blind universe,
right? But then they all meet contrary to the concept.
It's all a lie.
Love is seen.
Oh, man. Any last thoughts on perhaps the most entertaining couple on the show, Mark and Jessica?
Train wreck.
Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking?
Mark's going to find a good lady.
Heartbreaking.
A good woman.
Just sad for him because it was like...
He's 24. He doesn't need to get married.
He's so young. Yeah.
You knew from the get-go how it was going to end.
Mark, what are you doing in there, son? Like, come on.
I hope he learns from it. And like maybe watching it back, be like, wow, I was dumb.
Well, wasn't someone saying that someone asked him about like whether he was going to watch, and he was like, probably alone, because it's kind of embarrassing.
I think you said that.
I didn't have that knowledge. It might have been Hunter.
I would rather watch it by myself. When I watched The Bachelor, I wanted to watch it by myself.
Did you? Or did you like have like your family and friends over?
Sometimes I have friends, but I would honestly just rather watch it by myself. Because you forget what you say, you don't know what you do, or what you're going to look like.
So. Right. No. I mean, I don't blame you. All right. Next couple on our list here, we got to talk about Kenny and Kelly.
Kenny and Kelly. I thought this was the most sweethearted couple. I thought they were just going to thrive. I did.
Okay. Biggest plot twist. When they showed up in Mexico, wherever they went on this trip, like I had kind of forgotten about them. I was like, who's Kenny? Who's Kelly? Even when he proposed, I was like, who is this couple? Because there was no drama. There was no tension. They just seemed like very sweet, genuine people.
That was, I think, sort of the crux of the plot twist, is that we were all bored by their normalcy. In the way I don't know, I wouldn't say Cameron and Lauren were boring, but we were just kind of saying they weren't great TV because they were so like rock solid. And Kenny and Kelly felt that way. Until the bachelorette party.
Oh, yes.
Well, Kelly was holding back, I guess.
I know, that caught me off guard. My jaw dropped.
I guess that was like a little bit of a red flag early on that they didn't spend a lot of time on this, but it turned out that like Kenny and Kelly hadn't had sex yet. And that came up and you were kind of like, oh, then she was telling him a story about like a previous relationship that made it hard for her to be intimate with like him or like a future partner. And I was like, I was kind of tracking with that. I was like, I don't really know like what she's referring to, but like there's, you know, genuinely good reasons why people aren't as eager to sort of like jump into a sexual relationship. But then we go to the bachelorette party, and I don't know if she was telling this to like a friend or the camera, but she was like, oh yeah, I mean, like he's great, I love him, but I just kind of see him as a best friend.
And everyone's like, girl, this is your bachelorette party. Like, you're in it to win it at this point.
Yeah. And it's totally one thing if, like, you, like, love someone and are attracted to them, but, yeah. like, for whatever reasons aren't ready yet. It's another if the reason you're not ready is that you don't want to and never will because you don't see them that way.
Exactly. No, right? And then that her wedding day. God, yeah. So then it's just, you're like, oh, my God, maybe she's just drunk or maybe she's having, like, cold feet, whatever, bachelorette party. They're at her wedding day. She's, like, getting her hair and makeup done. And her mom, I believe, is, like, you know, brought up her ex and was like, you were infatuated with him. And Kelly shares how, you know, the last guy I dated, I was infatuated with him. And I just don't feel that way about Kenny. And then they cut to her, like, walking down the aisle. And you're like, wait a minute. Nothing's lining up here. Nothing's lining up. I just can't imagine having the, granted, this is a reality show and it is chaotic, but like to have those thoughts on your wedding day before you're about to walk down the aisle, like where you feel more attracted to your ex and like consider the person at the end of the aisle your best friend or you like them like a friend. Right. Yikes.
And when she said it at like the bachelorette party and also again at the wedding, like it didn't seem like a like, oh, it just struck her in that moment that like, that's the problem. I see him like a friend. She dropped it with a very casual, like, oh, yeah, like, I've known him for weeks. He's just a friend. And I was like.
Yeah, I don't think she gave herself into it as much as she should have. Mm-mm. I was really disappointed by that. I even thought the family was so cute together. Like, they were just so sweet. I just saw a fairy tale with this couple. And I don't know. Yeah, it's cut off guard. Like.
Yeah.
I wish she would have expressed these feelings to him a lot sooner.
Right? That's why I'm curious about the production. Like, do they have to go up on the altar and say no?
I think they have to. I want to say so. But that doesn't mean you can't, because if you remember, like, Lauren and Cam, like, Lauren was like, I don't want to give you a definite answer if I'm going to say yes or no. Like, just kind of give them a heads up.
That, yeah.
I think that must have been a production thing, especially with someone like Lauren, where it's like, it seemed like, her doubts seem to me the natural doubts of someone that was marrying someone they'd known for 30 days or whatever it was. But, like, production was saying, like, you can't. Because did any of them know? Or were they like, by contract, do we think, not allowed to say, yeah, I'm going to say yes?
Yeah, they probably weren't, huh?
Because all of them were like, I don't know what she's going to say. And, like,
I'm sure there was rules like that.
Time to see what Reddit knows about this.
I know, we need to go down. We're, like, fresh off the finale right now.
Dive deep into where they, like, contractually
obligated. We can't forget, though, Kenny gets left at the altar and, like, gives this little speech to the audience and is so, like, professional and, like, very calm. And then he walks out. And he's talking to the
production,
like the camera guy. Yeah. And he's like, you can't film this. You can't film this. And the camera guy says, you know, hey, do you think you'll marry her in the future? And he's like, why would you ask me that? Like, cut the cameras. Yeah.
He was hurt.
Just like spirals. Yeah.
He was hurt.
So it's hard to watch that.
Yeah. It's hard to get your heart broken to have people with cameras in your face. And you got their producers asking you questions that, you know, are just going to.
Right. They're specifically trying to like instigate something.
They're like poking the bear.
Yeah.
But I also think how short, like narrow-minded or short-focused, I guess, is like short-sighted is what I'm trying to say, is, you know, this, like, they'll still exist outside of this little experiment. So if they're not ready to get married now and you genuinely think like this is the love of your life, you want to pursue a marriage with them, go get to know them outside the show.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like, be like, wow, that was embarrassing. But, like, thank you for the Instagram followers. Right. Let's go rekindle this in a couple weeks.
Let's take some time to decompress.
Yeah.
For like, sure.
They're not going, like, to another planet.
Well, Kenny did go to North Carolina.
Is that where he's from?
I don't actually know.
Oh, yeah. What's the updates?
But wait, he went to North Carolina, and he is in a very happy relationship as of right now.
Good.
Callie, on the other hand, is single and still looking for love.
I can see that. She's too picky. I think her and Jessica are cut up on an ex, had a bad breakup.
Oh.
and just caught up on a certain figure of what they want again, and who knows if they'll ever find it.
Yeah.
All right. We have perhaps one more couple. Yeah, one more. Yeah.
Oof. And what a doozy.
And a doozy of a couple, as Shay just, our wordsmith over there, doozy. Gigi and Damien. Gigi and Dame. G and
oh,
Dame.
Oh, hell.
Who I am just going to put out there are the same exact person, and that's why they butt heads the entire time.
I don't know if they're the exact same person. I don't know.
They are both equally problematic and contentious.
I don't think I remember Damien bringing up fights, though. You were saying that.
He's the kind, he does what she does, is like they just kind of say something that isn't necessarily like relevant to what's being discussed. And he's like, you're on your phone all the time. Yeah. And she's like, well, like, that's my job. Like, I'm a blogger. Like, that's, I'm on my phone.
Oh, they no, but she said like that first, though. She said it first. Are you talking about when they were in the gym?
No, I don't know. This was the thing the before dinner? The gym. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just, they were just dinner? Like always kind of
which
butting
ends
heads.
With her climbing over the table to make out with him. They're very,
that was wild.
It was a little too much. This
yeah. He seems very controlling and she seems very argumentative.
And yes, they also both do the thing where like they'll have something that bothers them and it doesn't seem like they've talked about it before. And then they'll like, you know, throw out there like, well, you're always on your phone, and it'll go from like 0 to 100 and be like, wait, I thought we were talking about what we were ordering for dinner.
Yes.
And now you were yelling about my phone. What? I've lost the plot. I felt like I lost the plot a lot with them.
Okay, before we saw them outside the pods, though, they had perhaps the cringiest proposal.
Oh, yikes, yeah.
Where Damien's like crying and is like, will you marry me? And there's this tension. And you're like, oh my God, she's going to say no.
Okay.
And she goes, like, no, you stand. And she kneels.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't, you, there's something you need to know about me. Right. I don't believe in gender
roles. She's so fucking dramatic.
I was like, okay, like, good for you.
She's so dramatic.
Right. And she, then intense. She proposes. And it was uncomfortable and not romantic. And it was strange. And again, perhaps if they were in the same room, it would have been more touching. But like, they're doing it behind a wall. So it was just really cringy. And right off then, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. Because he seems like so tried and true and being like this like masculine, controlling individual. And she's like on her own, doing her own thing.
A real live wire.
So yeah, right off the bat, I was like not a fan of their coupledom. And then...
But at times it seemed like they were working in like an Amber Barnett way, and then there would be a scene where it would be like very clear. I feel like they almost underscored how well Amber and Barnett worked together, where Amber and Barnett were a duo that in the pods you were like, I don't really know if this is gonna like last or whatever. But once they got into like the real world, they kind of like settled into their relationship and grew, and you're like, oh wow, like I can see this.
Yeah.
And like Gigi and Damien were the exact opposite. We're like in Mexico and in the pods, he was like, all right, like there's something working here for them. This seems, you know, good for them. And then just like when they were in Atlanta, like, oh my God. I don't know.
It was actually even a small fight when they were in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they were on the boat and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know what they were fighting
that
over.
That was so weird because he said something about, like, I like vacations because I can escape from like, whatever's going on back home.
Escape reality.
Like, what are you escaping?
What's reality? Why are you escaping? What's going on? And she just kept on and kept on. Like,
I was like, that's what a vacation is by, like, definition.
And it turned out it was, like, the very real concern where he was like, well, I think going on the show might have meant that I've lost my job. I was like, oh, that is a real thing that you want to escape.
Yeah.
No, for real.
That was wild. And then it was Atlanta when they had the infamous...
Oh my God, truly iconic.
I think...
Not even a fight. Just
I don't even think I can do it justice.
I screamed. We're going to play the clip for you because we have that technology. I don't know. Maybe we'll just like leave a pause for the clip to go.
You know how you tell me this is the best sex of your life? Have you noticed that I don't return the compliment? I don't say it's the best sex of my life, too.
So I screamed when that happened.
I literally screamed, was like sitting on my couch drinking tea and was like yelped and like spilled tea all over my hands. I cannot believe that she said that. Like,
that is...
She hit below the belt.
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
Below
like
the belt.
Sledgehammer.
It was so funny.
Belt.
His facial expression just... The whole time, the whole show, his facial expression is just
it's
the
one
same.
Expression. So,
what you can't necessarily hear in the clip, but you see in the show, is that like she's leaning. They're in separate rooms. he's in the bed and she's in the kitchen and she's leaning against the counter facing out, and you can like watch the whole like everything on her face. It's like she's aiming, she's like getting ready to take her shot, and then she says like the first line, and then she gives the beat, and she's like, and you know how like, have you ever noticed how like I don't return the compliment? And I was like, that is among the most brutal things I've ever heard anyone say to another human being.
It was so calculated. That's what made it that much better, though, is how she paused and was like, the knife, and now we twist it.
How long had she been sitting on that, waiting to like...
Oh, for a minute. Right, like, she had that in her back pocket ready to go. Yeah. She's argumentative.
And like, then you're going to like want to marry this person? Yeah, that would hurt. Genius.
I would be so sad. You just killed my pride, girl.
Like, right? Like, there's no coming back from that.
Shit.
Sign me up for season 2.
True, it's just mean.
It's mean, yeah. And also just not healthy in a relationship.
Like, that's not healthy at all.
They perhaps had, like, that's some Carlton diamond energy in that relationship where it was just like...
And then the fight like evolves to him saying like, oh, well, like, that's because like I don't initiate it. And she was like, yes, that's the problem. And it's like, wait, I thought the problem was that the sex wasn't as good. Like,
yeah, it's so confusing.
If that was the problem, why don't you lead with that besides waiting to start a fight where you circle around some other things and then eventually get to the point that is actually your point? That's
yeah, just get to the point. Don't start a fight, then try to get to like that. I hate that. I hate when you start a fight.
And they've been together for 6 days at this point. Like,
oh my god, could you imagine 6 years? Oh my god.
Oh man.
Like, and that's what blows my mind is I feel like when you meet someone, you kind of like are a little more timid or you're kind of holding back on certain things, and these couples just like went for it.
They did.
I think that's like a nature of the experiment where it's like, I don't know how I would behave if they were the only person that I, or not the only person, but if it was in like the confined pods and then it's just us and some other couples in Mexico. And like, I do think that they went to 0 to 60 on it generally, but I feel like it's harder to gauge, especially because like if you just start dating someone, you might not be seeing them every single day or living with them within a week.
Yeah.
But still, the point stands.
The point stands. They're both way too intense and toxic, and I can't believe it was ever a thing. But their wedding is probably the most dramatic.
Yeah, and the first one we see.
Which is the first one we see, which I was kind of disappointed because it really set the bar for me for some, like, train wreck.
Yeah.
And nothing quite matched it.
Did you think they were going to say yes?
I did.
I did,
I thought
too.
The beginning was so good. They both said, like, lovely, kind words. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, they worked their shit out. Here we go. Okay.
They also seemed both nuts enough that they would get married even though all the signs said they shouldn't.
Yeah. And so we, you know, we see Gigi, like, running through, like, suburban Atlanta with her heels in her hand.
We have to talk about how he rejects her because you and I both had strong feelings about that.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Take it away.
Well, so she says yes. She gets asked first, and she says, yes, I do. I will marry you. And then it comes to him, and he says no. But his logic is that he is ready to do this, but he can see that she's not, even though she just said that she was. And then she runs off, and he kind of chases her, and she is like, leave me alone, and keeps running through the Georgian wilderness. But like I feel like both got like worked up about this.
Yeah, because I think a lot of my frustration with him, and maybe this speaks to your question earlier, is that so much of his arguments is like, he's just spins it back on her. It's not that he has an issue with it. It's something that she's doing to make, like, it's her fault that he's upset by something. It's her fault that he's bothered that she does certain things. You know, she's not a perfect person. She clearly was like manipulative and had some harsh words, but it's like, you're not ready to get married. So like, I'm going to tell you no. And it's like, no, you make that decision for yourself. And he's very manipulative in that sense.
They both weren't ready, in my opinion.
I mean, I think it was probably for the best.
She shouldn't have said yes to begin with.
She shouldn't have.
But he also, like, shouldn't, like, it, like, drove me insane, like, he was making the decision for her, where he was, because then also, like, even if it was something that he ultimately didn't want to do it, like, by putting it on her, like, I'm the bigger person here, like, I love you, but,
I see
like,
that, yeah.
I'm going to watch out for your best interests and, like, stop you from this thing that you said you wanted, like,
he's cowardly.
Yeah.
They were both inconsistent. That was an inconsistent relationship. And yeah, too much fighting, too much this and that. And I agree.
For the best, but handled in a way that made me even more infuriated.
Yeah, he is someone that I was like, at first was like, who are you again? And then by the end, I was like, I hate this man. Like, you are so toxic and really creepy. And I would not be surprised if you show up in like a headline in a few years. Yikes. I really did not like it. Like, crazy creepy energy from him. Like you said, he had one facial like reaction the entire show.
Yeah.
10 episodes. Show me joy. It's like, that's the face.
There were a lot of
show me anger.
On the show.
Like, that's it. It was crazy. So, are they together now?
No.
I
way.
Believe so. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Are they together? Yeah,
they're together. All right, let me find
Shay did all like the post
no
recaps.
Way.
Okay.
That is a toxic relationship right there. Toxic at your finest.
Apparently, things changed after the finale. Once the cameras went away, they ended up regrouping and talking, and now they're like, we love each other. We just don't need to be married right away, the source said. A year and a half after the show originally filmed, Gigi and Damien have reportedly moved in and are living together.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. How about that?
Mm-mm. Good for them.
Lord have mercy.
Good for them.
Lord have
bless
oh man.
Hearts.
So, you know, taking out of content or taking out of the fact what we know now about after the show, yeah. There was six couples that made it to Mexico after the pods. Carlton and Diamond lasted like 12 hours in Mexico.
Didn't last long.
So we had five couples that went through with the wedding and only
next
two
stage.
Of them. Yeah. Only two actually said yes at the altar. Cameron and Lauren, who we love, they're gonna have baby Dustin, and then Barnett and Amber, who are remarkably still together.
Right.
And then we had three relationships say no at the altar, but allegedly Gigi and Damien are together now.
And also, I'd say we don't feel like any of those no's should be yeses.
Right. I wasn't devastated.
Well, no. I feel like Kelly and.
Kenny and Collie?
You know.
I thought they should have been together.
Because they weren't toxic. She said, I love him like a best friend.
Yeah.
Like, I said this earlier. Like, there's a difference between marrying your best friend.
Have you ever heard of getting down the friend zone? It happens.
I don't think it does.
It happens.
You get sent there for a reason.
There's been numerous occasions where men have been put in the friend zone and they come out.
Yeah, but like the friend zone is
also an anomaly.
Like something of a construction. So like if you think you're in the friend zone, doesn't mean you were in the friend zone. Maybe it just means that you were friends.
That's a one-way ticket.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, like I said,
I don't there's think a different... the friend zone is a one-way ticket, but I don't think what she was describing was the friend zone.
She just
she
enjoyed...
Was
just, she
it
was,
sounds like the friend
she
zone.
She was cordial. You don't want to marry someone you're
she
cordial
She just like, wasn't
with.
Attracted to him.
Yeah. She was hung up
and
on
like
her
had
ex.
Like a lot of time,
and that's why she's
for it to build.
Pushing 40, still single.
Oh,
I don't know.
She's no, that's harsh.
That was harsh, but you know, I just really liked. I thought Kenny was a great match for her. I'm upset by it.
But what about she wasn't in love with him? What makes that a great match?
She didn't try. She didn't try to become in love with him.
Over, I mean, to be fair,
well, she loved him. She loved him.
You can care about someone and not want to marry them. Like yeah. Jessica cares about her dog. They're not going to get married.
You never know.
I
don't know. I'm just hurt by that.
So that one, you were surprised that they truly did. Okay.
Oh,
I thought they were a shoo-in.
No, the second she said, I don't know, I just like see him as a friend. I was like, whoop.
That was towards the end, though, man.
Okay.
But through the whole process,
I was all in on them until that bachelorette party, and then I was like, whoop.
Nope, we're out. We are very much out. Any other surprises for you guys?
Well, we kind of already touched on it, but I was surprised by how much I liked Barnett and Amber together by the end.
Yeah,
me too. And that they went through with it.
Yeah.
I was really surprised that they went through with it, especially because he seemed so close with his family.
Yeah.
And they all were like, don't do it. Don't do it. And her home visit went so poorly.
Who was more of a catch in that relationship? Because it seemed like to me, Amber was kind of, not saying desperate, but it's like she needed Barnett, in my opinion, you know, not being financially stable, not knowing, just having a job just to kind of have fun and this and that. So I don't know.
She also seemed like someone that, like we were saying, that Mark seemed like a girlfriend guy. Like she kind of seems like a boyfriend girl, where like she likes having a partner to support her in all sorts of ways.
Yeah. I guess going off of that too, I don't think we touched about it on the podcast, that when they went to visit her home, Barnett said it looks like she doesn't come from the most affluent neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to sit here and be like, she wasn't financially stable, but like she doesn't come from like a privileged background. So
no, that's fine.
You know what I mean? So it's like I'm sitting here being like, she's not financially literate, or she has all this debt. And it's like a lot of that does come from her circumstance.
Right.
I think she's a good soul, and I think they're
a good
match. I do. Like I think they can learn from each other.
Yeah.
Because he seems a little more buttoned up than I realized. He's kind of like vanilla. He doesn't really have a personality.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you, were you like, I don't know, nothing about him was like Mr. Personality.
And I couldn't really tell you anything about him.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, he was attractive and he was just kind of there. And then everyone was fawning over him.
They were. He was the guy.
So who was the third one? Because he had...
Elsie. Was that her name? Elsie. Yeah, it was Elsie.
Yeah.
Hers, I think we watched this together, this episode. When she left, she was like crying. And she was like, am I just unlovable? And
who is this?
Her name was Elsie.
I don't remember her.
She was like first episode or second episode.
Yeah.
And didn't make it past. I don't know. Did she like...
There was nothing really that stood out about her. She had like dark, long dark hair. She was white. I don't think she had like the most interesting of storylines. But when she left, she was just like, I just feel like this always happens to me. Like, why doesn't anyone love me the way I love them? Like, am I unlovable? And it was really sad.
Someone's out there. Someone will love you.
I'm sure. But she didn't really get a ton of exposure from the show. I don't know.
Just not lovable.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
She's a recruiter. She's 26.
See, she's got time.
She's got so much time.
She also does like this like rundown of all the cast. Like it has like their Instagrams. It has like a couple lines of what they are. Not her. Her is just age and job.
Why is everyone such in a rush to get married? And I don't know. Like people are looking like J-Lo at 50 now. J-Lo, I mean... 50 is the new 30.
Because most people don't look like J-Lo at 50. That's why they're rushing to get married. If I look like J-Lo at 50, like, wow.
But you get what I mean.
Kudos to me, but I don't think that's going to happen.
People are young. Like, I don't know. I felt like I'm from a small town. Mm-hmm. And when I used to think about like being in high school, people in their 30s, I was like, oh my God, that's so old. Yeah. Like their life's over. Like what do they have to live forward to anymore?
Yeah.
And you know, that's just not the case. You just, I don't know.
Little did you know.
Little did I know. 30s are my best, actually. Yes. I love my 30s.
Wow.
No one
I feel like it's
that.
A little concerning when someone's fixated on like a particular marker of like oh, like, I really need to be married. Like then it seems like you're more occupied with like the concept of marriage than you are the person.
Oh, so many people do that.
And yeah. It's like, that should not be
so many the people do that. Force. So many people get married or jump into relationships for just being lonely. I find that's a thing. Whenever I'm dating someone and I'm getting to know them, I like to try to see if they're just a lonely person and they just kind of want someone. No, I mean, we all get lonely, but some people, when they get lonely, they need someone there and they don't care who it is. Someone mm-hmm. that just shows a little interest in them and they'll just, yeah, grab on.
Yeah, no, that's so true. That is very real.
Get to learn yourself being lonely. That's a good one.
What? I think, yeah, you need to have, like, a grasp of yourself independently before you can be, like, a part of a duo.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially, marriage is, like, a legally binding piece of paper and very expensive to undo. So, that's not dating someone.
To do as well.
I mean,
how most depends. People have weddings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had some friends that got married at the courthouse last summer. It was the best. We had so much fun in that courthouse.
I think I've had more fun at like smaller weddings that weren't like this like grand production.
Yeah.
And it just feels like more of a celebration of those people. And it's like the people you want to be there. I don't know. I love it. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any weddings coming up in the office?
I don't think so.
Ooh, can I come if so?
Sure. But no, I don't think we're getting the invite.
We have no weddings on the radar. Yeah. Oh, man.
You guys might be at my wedding. Who knows?
Oh, my God. Wait, is there one in the near future?
We never know.
Are you going to go on Love is Blind?
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind, too.
Would you go on Love is Blind?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm the type of person that I would do it for the experience.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not saying I would get married. But I think it would be a cool experience. I think I would get to know myself a little better and knowing what I'm looking for in someone.
You seem way too level-headed to go into something where the end goal is to get, like, married.
You're
in
gonna be
5 weeks.
I'm
not level-headed
like,
at all.
Congratulations, you're too normal. Go home.
Yeah, yeah, they'd be this couple. Congrats on finding someone, but you gotta go.
Be happy. Let us know how it goes. Bye.
Amazing. So you think there will be a sequel, though?
Absolutely. I would bet money on it.
Really?
It's. I mean, I'm putting on the editor hat. Like, it's Netflix. Like, they churn through productions. This has been wildly popular. Mm-hmm. And relatively low-budget looking. Like, they can make a second season easy.
Oh, for sure. We should make a bet. Don't we have bets on The Bachelor?
We have a lot of like verbal bets that we need to
put in the
writing.
No, we're doing shots next time,
I think. I mean, they're technically all on the record.
They are.
Oh, yeah, they are recorded. You're so right. They're on the record.
I bet there's not just going to be two seasons, but three.
Wow. So we'll meet back here in 3 years.
3 years. Oh, no. At the way they churn these out.
10 years.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, season two and season three could already be made.
That's true.
Really?
But this, like, if this was like a year ago?
Yeah.
If it was something they assumed would be popular, but if they held it for so long, maybe they didn't assume what would be popular. I don't know.
They probably, I mean, Netflix probably doesn't own, I mean, they probably bought the rights to it, but there's probably a production network that did this, and they've been trying to sell it for like a year or two, and then Netflix finally did it.
I don't know if I'd watch it again.
Yeah, you would.
You think so? I feel like this is what happens. Like, I don't get FOMO for most things, but when people watch a show, I like want to know what everyone's talking about. So I would watch it if it was like another like phenomenon or whatever.
Yeah. You know what's the best marketing? Memes.
Memes, yeah.
Anything I see in a meme that's a TV show, I'm going
to
watch it.
Like, I need to know why everyone's using this.
I need to
know
why this is so fucking funny and why everyone's laughing at this meme. I'm going to devote my time to a whole week of this now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was. I did binge it, I have to say. I watched it in like 2 days. And they're hour-long episodes. Like, it's so long.
Yeah.
But it's good TV.
The Bachelor was bad with 2 and 3 hour episodes.
I know, and there's commercials on The Bachelor. No more commercials. That's kind of a game changer for me to watch something without commercials.
Well, you can watch The Bachelor without commercials. You just have to watch it the next day. It's on Hulu.
Yeah, but we have to watch it in real time to give the people the content on our podcast.
To give the people what they want.
That is true.
All right, guys. Any last thoughts on Love is Blind? Shay, have you come to a conclusion with your Is Love Really Blind? Rabbit hole that you've found yourself down?
No.
All right, well, I'll let you think on that. Is Love Blind? If you guys haven't watched the show, we definitely recommend that you watch it and give it a shot. We are normally a Bachelor podcast, but we are transitioning here into all trashy reality television shows. So we hope that you continue to binge watch with us and listen to our podcast, Can I Steal You for a Second? Follow us on Twitter, like us on all the podcast platforms. You know the drill. And we'll see you next Monday.
And cut.